On that note, the one and only, mm-hmm. one of the most fantastic people on the planet, both to listen to and to hear what she has to say, Michelle Buttigieg, North American representative for the Malta Tourism Authority. Visit Malta, MALTA.com. Michelle, again, such a pleasure to be speaking with you today. How has 2024 officially started off with you after doing your 2023 wrap-up? And on that note, how did 2023, how did that play out in comparison to the year prior?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure talking with you and chatting about everything, especially about Malta. And things have been going really, really well. You know, we're gaining momentum, and with that comes, you know, more and more things to do, places to be, people to meet. 2023 was very exciting. I think I could say that we finally, as a travel industry, have reached a momentum that we're not on first gear anymore. We kind of feel like we're moving forward, and it's real. It feels real. And 2024 has such a good feeling about it. You know,
agreed.
Bookings are coming in. You know, people are booking early and again, and looking into have a vision towards the future.
That is fantastic. And I agree with you. There seems to be a very optimistic general sense of, I don't know what the exact word is, but 2024 has a great feel to it. And so I agree with everything you just said. And most importantly is, for the sake of this conversation, is that you feel that as it correlates with respect to Malta. And I think a perfect spot on question with respect to what you were just saying is, why is it that Malta has that momentum? Why is Malta, quote unquote, trending now?
I think post-COVID, you know, one aspect of Malta as a destination that kind of was like maybe a little bit of a disadvantage in this market has become an advantage. And by saying that, I mean, you know, it's the off the beaten path kind of destination. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people know about. And post-COVID, with this new way of traveling and people looking for somewhere new. Mm-hmm. Now, are we new? Absolutely not.
No.
We're 8,000 years old, and we've been there for a while. But it's kind of new to this market and to this, the way people are looking for a destination. And, you know, North Americans that have exhausted mainland Europe, they're all looking for that. It's not just enough to just go to the big city. They want to go and discover somewhere that is not as well known. And I think destination Malta is ideal for that. It's still a very, you know, exotic destination.
Absolutely. And especially with the rich history and culture, as we discussed during the our first amazing podcast a few years ago, and as you just briefly touched upon, I mean, there's just so much to discover. Whether you're a yacht enthusiast, or I mean, it has so much to it. And so, on that note, though, is explain very quickly, where is Malta, Michelle?
Yeah, we're 58 miles south from the shores of Sicily, and as I said before, you know, 8,000 years of history makes it an open-air museum. So you have megalithic temples that date 1,500 years older than Stonehenge, all the way to the British rule, with everyone that visited in the middle. The Knights of Malta, the beautiful medieval cities. It's an archipelago of three islands. So mainland Malta, small island Camino surrounded by lagoons, and then the sister island of Gozo, which in Greek mythology is said to be the island of Calypso, the goddess Calypso. So there's definitely a lot of mystery there. And as you mentioned really well before, the different niche markets, so it has a little bit for everyone, whether,
right,
you know, you're looking for that luxury, off the beaten path, curated experience, living like a local, all of those fun things in one, to whether you are a soft adventure enthusiast or you love festivals. There's musical festivals all year round, all types of festivals. As a matter of fact, I wanted to mention that Malta's hosting the Biennale this year, so we're very excited about that, from March to May. For those that don't know, a biennale is an art festival, and it showcases various artists from all over the world. And what Malta's doing, really exciting, is that it's using its heritage Malta localities. So it could be in a museum, it could be in a megalithic temple, it could be in the city of Valletta. So it is going to be really exciting, and we're very excited about that.
That is very, very exciting. And really quickly, as you touched upon Gozo, you are, correct me if I'm wrong, but Michelle, but you're from Gozo, right?
I am indeed. I am from the island of the goddess. Yes, I
And
practiced on a good day.
your fantastic North American ad agency team of Karen, Amanda, and Jillian informed me that you are, quote unquote, the queen of Gozo.
That's according to them. So it's just a local myth. But they're great ladies, and they do such a great job for us. The island holds a lot of mystery, and as I said, whether it's going, people ask often, how do I get there? So we're connected through any major hub in Europe. So whether you're flying into London, Paris, Istanbul, Amsterdam, Rome, it's a very quick connection through any major hub. And we are English speaking, don't forget. So that makes ease of communication.
I was just about to touch on that. So you have the connectivity with respect to getting to Malta, and then you also, once you get there, there are no language barriers.
There are no language barriers. We have two official languages. Maltese is our own language. It's a native tongue. It's semi-Semitic, so it's arrived from Aramaic and Arabic, with lots of Latin written in Roman letters. And then we speak English, and we were part of the British colony until the 1960s. So that kind of stayed with us, and most people on Malta speak English.
And something else, circling back for a moment to the rich heritage and how not only the longevity of Malta, but further a few of those points, but one in particular always has stuck with me from, again, that first podcast conversation we had, whereas you had mentioned there is a restaurant, for example, that still serves the same menu as the Knights of Malta, correct?
Yes, so there is an experience. It's more of an experience. It's called Taste History,
Yes.
and it is organized by Heritage Malta, which is we're very proud of Heritage Malta, as it is an association that takes care of our history and culture. And what a big job do they have! Oh boy, but they do such a great job.
Oh boy.
We have a lot of history. So they do this, they created this experience where you are sitting with a curator and you are basically eating the same menu as the Knights of St. John. I was with a group of Americans,
That's
or two, a group
incredible
of two
to
operators.
think about that. That's incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And I ask, like, how do you know? Like, how are you so accurate, and how come you have so much information?
Right.
And the funny thing is, first of all, one of the curators, Liam Kalki, he is a genius. He could be talking about anything. He could be talking about eggshells, and you would listen to him like it's the best thing in the world. So imagine him being so knowledgeable in our history. He explained to me, he goes, look, we found documents from court cases where, for an example, the farmer or the supplier was not paid, and then there will be a list of ingredients that he would supply to the knights. So with recipes and everything that goes with it, so they're very accurate. Even you would even drink the wines that were paired. So you're
Yes.
sitting there, you're savoring a somewhat more ancient recipe that my grandmother used to cook, but more
Wow.
but older. And paired with the wines they were drinking in an atmosphere, usually it's at the Maritime Museum or a museum. And it's just simply amazing.
And speaking of the wine, something that we have done beautiful features on, of the many we've done for you, is there is such a rich wine and vineyard experience and culture in Malta.
There is. As a matter of fact, it's worth saying that The Malta Tourism Authority has a wine ambassador. This is how much we have to say about wine. We have our own ambassador that represents a division of wines and vineyards in our country. Because of the weather and the beautiful sun that we are blessed with, our grape is pretty robust and juicy, and it gives us authentic grape for the island. So while you're there, and the soil obviously has a lot to do with it as well, and the cultivation, while you are there, it's definitely a must to go have a lunch or an experience where you go on a vineyard. Mostly they pair it up with some local cuisine, a local chef. And you kind of, you know, taste is one of our senses, our main senses.
Absolutely.
And why not feed the sense of taste and really taste a culture or a destination?
Very
That's
well
the best
said.
Way how to... You know, that's the best way how to take something away with you kind of thing.
Yeah, that is such a perfect way to say that, how to taste a culture, to taste a history, to taste a location and really, truly, quote, to experience it. And also it's so, and this ties back to, as we were speaking about connectivity with respect to the ease of getting there, the ease of once you're there, no language barriers. And then further, you can, with Malta, which is often not the case if you're traveling to a certain type of other island, wherever it might be in the planet. But let's say you and your friends or your significant other, you want to head out to the vineyards for a day or wherever it might be for any of these incredible experiences. There are one, when you get there, there's a VIP terminal at the airport, correct?
There is indeed, yes. So one could come in privately. There is a VIP lounge, whether when you're leaving or you're coming in. If you're in a group, it could be arranged that you check in separately. Your luggage will be held separately. So yes, that's the first kind of first experience once you get there, if you want to go through that.
And then you simply, in Malta, or if you're perhaps, once you make your way over to Gozo so that you get a sight of the Queen of Gozo, Michelle Buttigieg, the North American representative of the Malta Tourism Authority.
I wish I was there.
But then also with ease and simplicity, you can hire a luxury car, which then I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, you can hire throughout the duration of your stay if you simply want to go about it that way and not rent a car, et cetera, correct?
Correct. You can rent out a driver, cars for the duration of your stay. If you do want to visit Gozo, as you said, there is ways that you can go with the car directly because the boats that cross over from one point of the islands are boats that carry cars as well. So yeah, there's everything available.
Fantastic. It's so amazing. It's that there is that type of connectivity. And then also, so you, when you arrive in your VIP terminal, perhaps, and then you jump into your luxury car that you've hired and arranged, then you, whether it's going to a luxury hotel that, or hotel, you're depending on your choice, that has been open for years, or you decide to, and this, I'll let you touch upon this, you might be heading to a new hotel, and you've had many new hotel openings, correct? And private clubs, spa and wellness centers,
yes.
Et
cetera. Yes, we do. So the luxury hotel scene has been really growing in Malta in the last, I would say, 10 years. We have some new ones coming up that we're very excited about. Talking about luxury, very proud that this year, I mean 2023, saw two new properties entering the Virtuoso community, which is incredible. So we have Inyala, which is a boutique hotel on the Bastions, overlooking the Grand Harbor, beautiful boutique hotel. And the Phoenicia Hotel, which is more of a colonial style hotel, gorgeous, set near the gates of Valletta. It's a leading hotel of the world, also became a Virtuoso property, together with Intercontinental, that has been for a while, actually. But we have a Me by Melia opening up this year, later in spring. We are waiting for dates. We're very excited about the Me from Melia because it's of a luxury brand. Six Senses is taking over a project on the island of Camino,
Really?
which is an inhabited island with a hotel that already exists, but they're taking that over and revamping. Everyone knows about the Carinthia Group. Carinthia Group will be opening a new property in Malta. Obviously, the original Carinthias are in Malta because it's a Maltese company, but they're opening, they have a project called Oasis, and it's going to consist of these bungalows in the countryside overlooking the beautiful Mediterranean Sea, and I cannot wait to see what they can come up. But then there's others. Obviously, we've seen a big boost in the boutique hotel properties, only because we have so many palaces and the older structures that have been kind of renovated and kept well, and transported into these beautiful boutique luxury properties. And imagine you're staying in Valletta or the Three Cities, and you're staying in one of these palazzos. You're staying in history,
right?
Whether this palazzo, you know, belongs to the knights of you know, the Italian knights or the French knights, you still can see a lot of characteristics today.
I can't wait.
I love it.
I can't wait to experience it. And I know that I said that the first time we spoke, but then that
you said that yes.
Yes, but then that nasty, COVID went around, so it wasn't the best travel time.
Sure.
But I will be there,
sure.
And I may never leave. I may become the king of Gozo.
Yes, please. Every queen is a king.
Exactly. Unless someone already has that title secured, then I'll just go with the court jester of Gozo. And and then also, Karen had mentioned that there are also, along with new hotel openings, et cetera, there are some private clubs as well.
Yes, there are. For an example, one of my all-time favorite is called Gracie's, and it's a private club in Valletta. It's located near the old parliament in the main piazza, one of the main piazzas. And it's like, again, this used to be an old residence, like palazzo, palazzino, and it is converted into this private club. So it's called Gracie's, by the way. It is open for public. Of course, it also has members. They would have access to certain areas in the club that the general public won't. But the experience is simply amazing. I love going there on a pre-dinner. You go into Valletta, you have a nice Aperol spritz, sit on their rooftop or in their galleria, the balcony from the facade, and just watch Valletta going by. And the service is amazing. I had dinner, I had lunch there. The service is amazing. So it's definitely, that private club experience. And a very good friend of mine, shout out to Danny Drinkwater, runs it, but they really do a good job.
That is fantastic. And what are, so you've raved about Gracie's. I love that name. And what are just that you personally frequent, some insider tips that the Queen of Gozo highly recommends? I know you can recommend, I would imagine, basically anything within Malta, yet what are a few others that the Queen of Gozo frequents? I'm going to see how many times I can say the Queen of Gozo during this conversation. I love it. I love it. I truly do.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. I have to live up to that.
That's exactly right. And people will want to know when they listen. Well, if we're okay, honey, if we're okay, we're committed. We're going to Malta. We have to go to where the Queen of Gozo frequents.
Exactly. So recently, worth talking about is our Michelin star restaurants. And I've been to most of them. And of course, there's a few that would be more kind of my taste only because of my personal palate.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that it's pretty impressive that a small island has launched recently, and all of a sudden we have 35.
That's incredible.
localities in the Michelin Guide Malta. We have six one-star Michelin stars. There's four Bib Gourmands, and then there's 25 recommended ones.
I mean, that is
incredible.
It's absolutely incredible. Isn't even the right word. It's phenomenal. It's a number of those the synonyms to incredible. It's absolutely sensational, and it's almost mind. It's almost unbelievable. I mean, obviously, it is a fact, but it's incredible, as you said.
Yes, and most importantly, what I like is this new fusion, this new trend of, you know, putting in the Maltese cuisine, because I love Maltese cuisine, and you might ask, what is Maltese cuisine? It's a typical Mediterranean palate, you know, with, you know, fish, obviously, because we're an island. You have the sauces and the natural vegetables and you know, all these put together. It's just like this twist, this fusion that these geniuses, chefs, and most of them local, by the way, come up with. I had dinner at the Eon, which is at the Inyala, the Eon, the harbor. It's a Michelin star, and it was like an 8-course, which, by the way, you might think, God, 8-course
right.
But it's obviously smaller portions, but the taste, like how it makes you jump from one extreme to the other. And the chef came out and he was explaining, going through everyone. So we bring our cheese from Gozo, and we bring our asparagus, we grow them with this farmer. And the certain pride that, you know, the sustainability that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
For an example, one of my other favorite, the De Mondion, which is located in Medina, in the Shara Lodge Hotel in Medina. It, first of all, you have a 360-degree view. So you're on top of a hill. You're overlooking all of Malta.
Wow.
The palate, what you're tasting, you're eating the local octopus, this one. And they tell you exactly where they catch it from. And Shara, actually, interesting enough, they have their own sustainability program. They have farm to table, and they have their own locality where they grow. And the intensity of, like, how one hand feeds the other, it's incredible. And it's always fascinating for me, because then it's really making me understand what I'm eating and what I'm tasting and appreciating where it's coming from.
Absolutely.
But then, I mean, again, we have another 25 recommended, so they're all exquisite. But I have to say, being the queen of Gozo, in Gozo, one of the 25 recommended restaurants, it's called the French, and that's where the queen of Gozo got married, so it has a little bit of a special thing for me. Again, local cuisine mixed with fusion of the Mediterranean. But now, maybe one does not want to eat in a Michelin star restaurant, and that's okay, because the island offers an array of other experiences. You could be at places like Diyar El Bnit, where you'll go in there. You could even have a local cooking class, and then you eat the raviolis that you make. To eating in a piazza and just having a cup of tea with our local pastizzi. We talked about them last time, which is like a filo pastry filled with cheese or peas. And you're just there looking at life going on that has been going on in front of you for 8,000 years.
8,000 years.
Beautiful.
And experiencing it to a certain significant, yet and at the same time certain extent, the way that it was experienced 8,000 years ago with respect to the food.
Throughout the different generations,
yes,
people leaving, you know, all these civilizations all leaving something and embedded in the culture. And we get this from when the Arabs were ruling Malta. We get this from the Knights of St. John. We get this. But then it kind of all mushed together and made to our own culture, because a rich history brings a rich culture. So you could see it in how the people live, what the people look like. The lifestyle.
What an exciting time at this moment in history, 8,000 plus years later, to to visit Malta, whether it's for the first time or whichever time it might be. But what an exciting time. And what an exciting time for you, Michelle, to, after one, your love of Malta, and to be the North American representative for the Malta Tourism Authority, to have seen the growth and the how it's evolving into having this luxury component. I mean, just an exciting time for people, especially, as you mentioned, I mean, things have changed with respect to, it's not just about taking that trip or the few trips that you take every year. It's about experiencing life and getting the true full experience of an amazing, unparalleled location, if you will, such as Malta.
I agree. And you know what? Again, I am always at awe with the local, whether wherever I go, but in this case, we're talking about Malta, the locals that would give so much time to create these experiences. You know, when you are representing your own country or where you come from, it gives it a little bit of a higher platform because now you're talking about who you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was sitting with Stephen Cardina this summer. We were creating a perfume. You basically could go meet him. He took this like monastery in Valletta, cloisters, and you sit there and he's so passionate and he knows about the local herbs and flowers and scents, and he traveled all over the world, but yet he brings the what he finds on the islands and creates this perfume for you. Now, he created that for me. I brought it back, you know, to the Upper East Side, and I put it on, and that's basically something that was created for me. So, again, five star to these local, whether it's a hotel, whether it's a chef, whether it's, you know, Stephen, whether it's a vineyard, or whether that is that the guide that takes you around, so passionate about what they do and what they believe in. And, you know, one must be grateful anywhere they go that people are ready to share that experiences with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We are lucky now because people are looking for those experiences.
That is.
So, yeah, yes. We're in a good place.
Well said. You are so well spoken, Michelle, and you just really touched upon it with respect to having that passion. You hear it in everything that you say about Malta, which is why Michelle Buttigieg, I love saying your last name. I often just walk around when I'm thinking about the magazines or whatnot, and I just say your name over and over to inspire me. Because no, I'm not saying that sarcastically. I truly love your last name. I'm envious. Michelle Buttigieg, the North American representative for the Malta Tourism Authority. Visit malta.com. Michelle, thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are, and I hope that we will make it a point to do this at least once a year, if not more, and not wait a few years as we did this time, because I wasn't able to get much done over the past few years because I just sat in front of my computer waiting for the email as to when you and I were going to speak again. So I was really it's been a difficult few years, but no, it's such a pleasure, Michelle. And is there anything that we didn't discuss that you would like to touch upon? I mean, you're so well spoken and you know Malta so well. I think it's amazing that you can really cover so much in a over only 30 minutes. So compliments.
Thank you. And again, there's always something else to say, but right. We've covered the main topics and what's new and what's old. I think an idea would be that next time we will be sitting in Malta.
Oh, and yes.
Doing a podcast in Malta. I think that would be our next plan.
That is the greatest idea I have, one of the greatest ideas I've ever heard in my life. I absolutely love that. And I'm going to follow up immediately with your dream team, Karen, Amanda, and Jillian, and see how we can do that. I 100% will do that. Absolutely. I would love that. I would love that. I may
look forward.
And again, I may never leave because if Gozo needs a court jester, I have all the qualifications.
We'll set you all in. We'll We'll set you on it. You're all set.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Always lovely speaking with you.
You as well. Have an amazing rest of your day and an amazing week. And I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Take care, my friend.
Fantastic. Bye-bye.
Bye.